Jeremiah 36, 1 through 3. Now it happened that in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning all the nations from the day I first spoke to you from the days of Josiah even to this day. Perhaps the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I devise to bring on them, in order that every man will turn from his evil ways. Then I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. And I would like us to hop down to Jeremiah 36, verses 20 through 24 to see where this is going exactly. So Jeremiah is receiving the word of the Lord, and he's having it written down on a scroll. He's having it written down on a parchment. And here in Jeremiah 36, they're going to take it to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. Verses 20 through 24, it says, so they went to the king in the court, but they had deposited the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and they declared all the words in the hearing of the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king, as well as in the hearing of all the officials who stood besides the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, with a fire burning in the brazier before him. And it happened that when Jehudi had read three or four columns, the king cut it with a scribe's knife and threw it into the fire that was in the brazier, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Yet the king and all his servants who heard all these words were not in dread, nor did they tear their garments. The account of Jehoiakim's penknife, his scribal knife, in Jeremiah 36 reveals a lack of regard for the word of God. And it's also going to reveal the consequences of this attitude towards the word of God. The prophet Jeremiah had received a message from Yahweh God, warning the king, warning the people of Judah of their sins, of their wickedness, and calling them to repentance. So this word of the Lord, it was written on a scroll. And when it was read to King Jehoiakim, he responded with blatant disregard and rebellion against the Lord. Jehoiakim took a penknife and began to cut the scroll to pieces, and he just threw it into the fire until the entirety of the word of the Lord had been burnt up. Jehoiakim's actions reveal the typical unregenerate man, but this is on steroids. It's a lack of fear and reverence for God at all. It was almost like a scoff. As the scripture says of the unregenerate, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, allow me to be clear on where I'm going with this, because I don't want you to think that I'm talking about this sermon simply about Jehoiakim. The vast majority of American churches and Christians are guilty of the same crime as Jehoiakim. You know, far too often when the Word of God presents itself, as it always does, in plain, direct language, we witness church after church and professing Christian after professing Christian brush off the message. They take the penknives of their own hearts and decide, well, this is the portion of the Word of God that I don't want. It's not good enough for me. It's not good enough for my theology. I don't want it. And this leads to a dangerous path. A path where people begin to throw away the Word of God altogether. We see this movement in the church today. I don't need doctrine. I just need Jesus. You see that crowd who are quick to defend homosexuality, quick to defend the shedding of innocent blood, abortion, and every other abomination. If this describes you, then you are guilty of the sin of Jehoiakim. There are many people who don't like the patriarchal structure that the Lord has given to the family. They don't like the leadership of godly men over the flock of God. And thus they take their penknife to the Word of God and says, I'm not going to follow that. Then you have those who take the penknife of their heart and remove the sovereignty of God. Well, let's remove the sovereignty of God. Let's insert the free will of man into every possible thing. They believe they can pick and choose which parts of the Bible to follow, as if they are the ones in charge. This is a deadly, deadly error. The Word of God is not to be trifled with. It is not to be ignored. It is not to be hidden so we don't offend other people, or we want our theology to sound good and to be accepted. America, cease from copying the actions of Jehoiakim. Put down your pathetic penknife and stop mutilating the sovereignty of God from your pulpits. Your godless free will theology is a direct assault on the sovereignty of God, and it is a wicked act of rebellion against the Lord. You have mutilated the word of God by removing what it says about sin and its separating power until eternal damnation. You have removed the teachings on hell and have eliminated anything that doesn't make you feel good. And in doing so, you have mutilated the severity of God. And you have created a false hippie version of Christ that is nothing like the real Jesus. You have shredded the doctrine of repentance with your antinomian penknife. You have taken your penknife and removed forsaking your sins and walking in holiness, and you've replaced it with, oh, I accepted Jesus. Oh, I said the prayer of salvation. Oh, I felt an emotional experience. What a detestable abomination that is. That we in our finite, limited knowledge, quote unquote, think that we can package the word of God in a way that is more palatable than he can, that we can market it better than he can, that we can make his perfect word more sound and marketable to the people. Stop mutilating the teachings of the Bible to fit your own preferences and desires. The word of God, it is not to be cut. It is not to be sliced and diced. It is not to be watered down. Put down your spiritual penknives and read what the Lord has given you. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. Listen, my friends, God has no respect for your outreach attempts of feel-goodism, okay? He doesn't care about your videos popping up on Facebook about how you're doing this and how you're doing that, and you don't mention the gospel, you just want people there to have a good time. He has no respect for your sermons that are focused on mere moralism or self-esteem, and he has no respect for your vain, Christless, crossless, self-centered messages. Just as the word of God was brought to Jehoiakim, the word of God has been brought to us. We've had it for hundreds of years to access as we please in this country. We must not add to it. We must not subtract from it. Nor should we come up with new marketing methods to repackage it. We must let the word of God speak for itself. Do not conceal parts of the word of God with your penknife. Don't mark things out with your penknife. Don't cut and paste to change the context for your theological purpose with your penknife. Let the full counsel of scripture be preached from our pulpits. Let the word of God say what it needs to say. Let God be true and every man a liar. We look at the vast majority of Christians now and we can't distinguish them from the world. As the Lord says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Adultery is virtually the same in the church as it is with non-believers. And when I say the church, I'm referring to those who are baptized, quote-unquote, professing Christians, or those who are just professing Christians in general from statistics. Fornication is virtually the same in the church as well as non-believers. Drug usage, drunkenness, you name it. And it is because we have taken a penknife to the Word of God and have replaced it with entertainment. We've replaced it with false doctrine. We've replaced it with whatever we feel like is best. You look at the churches today, and what do you see? You see a pathetic marketing campaign. He gets us. Or Judas 8:2. They've marred the name of Christ with their penknife. The personhood of Christ, they've sliced it with their penknife. They've cut the atonement of Christ with their penknife. It is this very action that led God to say in anger, "Who is this that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge?" In other words, do you think that you know what God is saying? Do you think you know better what God is saying than what he's actually said? It is this very act of spiritually cutting something from the word of God, removing it from our theology, that led the Lord to say to Job's friends, "My anger burns against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has." The usage of a spiritual penknife is displayed in the word of God saying, "You have perverted the words of the living God, Yahweh of hosts, our God." You have perverted it. It is a cutting of the word of God and his message on sin that led the Lord to say in Jeremiah 23, "For from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of Yahweh. They keep saying to those who spurn me, 'Yahweh has said, you will have peace.' And as far as everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, evil will not come upon you. But who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and heard? Behold, the storm of Yahweh has gone forth in wrath. Even a whirling storm, it will whirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh will not turn back until he has done and established the purposes of his heart. Sadly, we see a similar pattern today as preachers, evangelists, Bible colleges, and seminaries take their penknife to the Word of God. They falsely declare that there is no wrath coming from God. They say things like, oh, our God is a God of love. You don't have to forsake your sin. You don't have to worry about the whole holiness thing. We're under grace. But let me tell you, my friend, the biggest lie that has come forth in the last two or three decades from American Christendom is the lie that Christians are under no obligation to follow the Word of God. This is a dangerous deception. I'm here to tell you that if this is your mindset, if you are not striving for holiness, seeking to eliminate sin because you hate it and because it offends a holy God, if you don't love the Word of God, then you've taken your penknife and you've just cut the Word of God to make an a la carte religion. I'm going to choose what I want. And thus you're not a child of God. Again, let's take a look at this passage. He said, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning all the nations from the day I first spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. Perhaps the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I devise to bring on them, in order that every man will turn from his evil ways. Then I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. See, what happens when you take your penknife to the Word of God? Will you take away the gospel message unto salvation? So in essence, as long as they have this scroll, they have the Word of God speaking to them, which in essence is offering life or death. And looking at the fruits of so-called Christians today, we can see the disastrous consequences of taking away the message of the gospel. The same thing happened here in Jeremiah's time. The Lord commanded Jeremiah to write down all the words he had spoken concerning Israel, Judah, and all the nations with the hope that they would hear this disaster, this calamity which the Lord would bring on them, and they'd turn from their sin. But when Jehoiakim took his penknife and cut up the scroll, the opportunity for repentance was lost. Now, it wasn't just Jehoiakim's fault, however. The king is also representative of the hearts of the people. And because the intentional and willful desecration of the Word of God, Judah fell, and they went into captivity to the Babylonians. My friends, I am here to tell you today that if America persists in using its penknife to alter the Word of God, whether it be through theology or whatever their tactics are, the same thing will happen. There will be no army, no economy, no president strong enough to stop the impending wrath of God on this country. I want us to continue. Then the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll, and the words which Baruch had written at the dictation of Jeremiah, saying, take again another scroll and write on it all the former words that were on the first scroll which Jehoiakim the king of Judah burned. The second point I want to bring out to you is the word of God will stand regardless of whatever persecution it garners. King Jehoiakim may have burned up the scroll with the word of the Lord, but he cannot and did not burn up the God who gave the words of that scroll. As 1 Peter tells us, the word of the Lord endures forever. Throughout history, governments, armies, nations, you name it, they've all tried to eliminate the word from the face of the earth. But they have failed. Jehoiakim failed. And any group, government, or individual who seeks to eliminate the word of God will fail. America, you will fail. And you will fall to the sword and fall into captivity. Whether God brings physical calamity on this country, or whether he individually sends them into permanent captivity on Judgment Day, there will be a payday for the use of your penknife. America, you may have your small penknife in your hand, thinking that you can make God and his message pervert his word. But let me tell you, you're messing with a sharp, sharp two-edged sword. And I can promise you, that penknife will not be able to withstand a touch of judgment from that sword. That two-edged sword is the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will take his rod and shatter the nations. For the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, and those who touch it will fall under divine judgment. Those who seek to alter it will fall under divine judgment. The word of God is the power unto salvation, and no matter what persecution it is under, the Lord has promised that his word will not return void. We see in the book of Acts when the Sanhedrin attempted to stop the gospel from being spread, Peter and the apostles said, well, even though you've told us not to, we're going to obey God rather than men. The word of God will continue to be spread with or without the approval of man. If the Lord doesn't have a man to do it, he will raise one up. His word will not be cut off. And I'm aware of those who see messages like this and think, oh, well, this is divisiveness and it is not Christ-like. Don't give me that. This is the word of God we're talking about. The two-edged sword, it comes with good things and bad things. To those who are in their sin, it provides the repentance and warning from God, as was the message of the scroll brought before the king. And for those who reject it, those who continue in rejection and harden their heart, it announces their condemnation. So often people are confused about who God is. This is the God who struck Uzzah dead for touching the ark. This is the God who consumed with fire Nadab and Abihu because of how they responded to his word in a false worship. So yes, this is divisiveness, but it's divisiveness to those who hate the truth, those who hate the word, to those false prophets who declare peace, peace, when there is no peace. Let us continue. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says Yahweh, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written on it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and make this land a ruin, and will make man and beast to cease from it? Therefore, thus says Yahweh, concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out of the heat of the day and the frost of the night. So the third point is the end result of those who tamper with the word of God. To those who use their penknife to cut the word of God, to alter and present this false theology, this false idea of what the Bible says, let me warn you, you will end up worse than Jehoiakim. He was led into captivity. Eventually he was released, and when he died, he was buried with a donkey's burial, and he was dragged off and thrown out beyond the gates of Jerusalem. No one mourned for his death. And I tell you, those who alter the word of God with their penknife to make it feel good, those who alter the word of God to make it sound good to people, will be given worse than a donkey's burial. You will face a death much worse than being cast out of Jerusalem. You will face a second death in the lake of fire, forever separated from the new Jerusalem. Hebrews 10 tells us, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy by the mouth of two or three witnesses. How much worse do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? When you trample underfoot the Word of God, you are trampling underfoot the Son of God. We're not talking about your money, your health, your relationships that are at stake. We're talking about the eternity of your soul. Where will you be 10 billion years from now? Listen to what the Word of God says in Jude of those who continue to present these false doctrines, these false theologies, presenting the word of God to be something that it is not. It says, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have poured themselves into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. There's a reservation of black darkness for those who perpetuate this, who take their penknife to the word of God and they alter it because they want things to sound better. It says they have went the way of Balaam. What is the way of Balaam? Well, the prophet Balaam thought he could serve God and the world at the same time. He thought he could compromise and bring in the world and serve God simultaneously. It is this idea that sin is just not a big deal. That's the idea that Balaam had. And Balaam was killed for his wickedness. And even in Revelation, we see Jesus speaking to one of the churches, the church at Pergamum. And the Lord says, I have a few things against you, that you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. To which he would, a few verses later, go on and say, therefore repent. But if not, I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. You see, the word of God will destroy that penknife. You will either abandon it by the grace and mercy of God, you false teachers, or the word of God will cut you into pieces with the sword of his mouth. And yet we see so many churches with their marketing campaigns, their concerts instead of real Christ-exalting music, no church discipline, no preaching on sin. Every trend that comes out, that church is hopping to it and on to the next one to make Christ fashionable. There's no focus on actual discipleship. They may have a program or something called that. But when you find out what their discipleship program is, it's a bunch of pizza parties and cookouts talking about their favorite Joyce Myers or Joel Osteen books. It's sad to say that America is much like Judah in the times of Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah 6. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. All these preachers and false prophets telling you to repeat a prayer, telling you it's okay to remain in your sin because God loves you just the way you are. All these liars promoting fame and fortune, the Kenneth Copelands, the T.D. Jakes, you name it. There's a day of reckoning coming for your lying tongue. America, this is the warning of the Lord from his word. Hear his word, obey his word, speak of him correctly, and speak of him truthfully. What the word of God says, regardless of whether or not the world likes it or not, whether they call you names or not, whether they cancel you off Facebook or not. So America, if you don't put that penknife down, I can promise you there is something much sharper and much bigger, swung at a much greater force coming towards you. And that's the word of God, which you will be judged by. We ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word today. Thank you, and God bless you.